Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I know how Lurch felt. This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of the United Methodist Church. A sermon on a fig tree that is, well, it's blasphemous, and it raises the question, what can we do about these Protestant preachers who are so abiblical, and they give everybody reason to run to the Roman Catholic Church or Eastern Orthodoxy? Get me away from this nonsense. I'm looking at a video. This was posted at Not the Bee. It is a guy, presumably a pastor. He's standing at some sort of a lectern in some sort of a church. He's dressed up in a costume of, it appears to be, or what's supposed to be, a fig tree. So this adult male is preaching, presumably from the Bible, while wearing a costume. I don't believe he's a tree. He's an herbivore. Hey, Jimmy, we can start a new trend. We could have a convention. There's the furry convention that just concluded in Atlanta. These are people who dress up like cats and raccoons and dogs and any other animal that they want to. They don't think they're actually an animal. Those are therians. So I'm thinking we could start a new trend. We could be the Plantians. We're the plant. I believe I am a watermelon. Don't argue with me. And I go to the convention, and I have to actually, I can't walk around the convention myself. I have to be a wheeled around in a dolly inside of a refrigerator, because watermelon is best chilled. And I that's all I got. I don't know how to be that ridiculous. Plantians. Jimmy, I shouldn't ask this. Would you go to the AI machine and ask it if there are people who think they're plants?
They'll lock me out.
If all you need to do then is call an 800 number and get yourself some psychological counseling. Millions of people have found help. No, millions of people have dialed. You got nothing, secular therapeutic, nothing. And there's the mental health crisis is so extreme right now in the West that there are people profiting from counseling service. You can talk to a professional counselor. Just call 1-877-PLANTIAN. And we will be happy to help you not think you're a plant. Although they probably would affirm you're a plant, because you don't want to tell somebody they're not what they think they are, because feelings actually supersede science these days. Jimmy, what did the AI machine say?
You can't copyright this. They're called plantkins.
Plantkins! Plantkins! Of course they are.
And florakinetic.
Flora kinetic.
And botanican.
There's three of them? Okay, yes. No. Oh, I shouldn't. Why? All right, there's got to be a... Like, there's furries. They just dress up. Therians, yeah, think they are, or otherkins. They actually think that they are. What's the difference between a botanical, a fur... What kinetic?
Flora kinetic.
Flora kinetic.
Okay, so a plantkin is people who feel a deep spiritual or psychological identification with plants. A florakinetic is similar, though sometimes with imagined magical connection connotations. Mm-hmm. And a botanican, it just says it's another rare variation.
Okay. This is this is disturbing, not because there are people who think that they're plants. That to me is not the shocking part. Total depravity, the noetic effect of the fall, inform us we should not be shocked when somebody's thinking is haywire. Mine is, yours is, varying degrees, the different areas of life. I'm not shocked at that. I'm not disturbed by it. And I'm not angry at people who think that they're a plant or a dog or a chicken. It's the people who are wearing lab coats, who have degrees on the wall, that actually affirm this, that will actually say, yes, they're expressing their authentic self. And a liberal progressive culture that doesn't dare criticize the thinking and thereby affirms it. These people need help. These people don't need some sort of moniker and a convention to go to. I mean, if you this is how ridiculous it is. Do you know what the watering bill would be at a Plantkin convention? Do you know what it would take to hydrate all of those the Plantkins? Those biotechnics? What a biokinetic flora? What?
Florakinetic.
Or botanicals?
Botanican.
Botanican. Okay, because botanical actually is something. It's the affirmation of this and a lack of willingness to say, let's get these folks some help. That's what they need. They need our compassion and they need our help. What this man that I'm looking at who's dressed up like a fig tree needs is to be defrocked, identified as not Christian, labeled as somebody who has no business representing Jesus Christ, certainly in a pulpit. He's going to be preaching on Luke 13. It is one of Jesus' stories about fig trees. So apparently this guy, for his sermon, had to dress up like a fig tree to deliver the message and correct Jesus. Now, Jesus was fond of using fig trees. It's a plant, obviously, that you see in Israel. Note this, it's one of the few plants that actually loses its leaves and then regains them as summer is coming, which is why Jesus used the parable of the fig tree in Matthew chapter 24. Thusly, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So when you see the end, you're going to see some of these signs and you're going to go, okay, the end is near. And that's the way we should always be feeling. The end is near because we're seeing these signs all the time. This isn't the only time Jesus talked about fig trees. And this is why I'm telling you, if you want to keep your denomination, your church, from going wonky and dividing, get a shared hermeneutic. Agree, grammatical, historical is the way to read the Bible, that context is king, that what is surrounds a verse informs the verse. So for instance, now this is in Luke 13. This guy is brutalizing Luke 13. This is from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is going to use the fig tree again. Where are we in the story? He's just entered Jerusalem. We are heading into Holy Week now. So he's headed in. He's cleansed the temple. He's doing some teaching. And then he says this. Now in the morning, he returned to the city. He was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. Okay, what's the moral to that story? We've got to read what's going on around the verse. So we just saw that Jesus cleansed the temple. Why? False religion. He's opposing specifically Jewish false religion, formality, religiosity, turning the temple into a place of merchandise. It should be a house of prayer. And so Jesus then, on his way back into Jerusalem, he went out to Bethany, back and forth, just ping-ponging from Bethany. Out at the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse took place there. The dinner with Simon the leper took place there. And that's where he would go to rest and then come back to Jerusalem. He sees a fig tree. It's not bearing any fruit and he withers it. Well, what in the world? So the disciples say, sup? How did the fig tree wither away so soon? Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith, do not doubt. You'll only do what was done to the fig tree, but also you'll say to this mountain, be removed to the sea." In other words, if you are a genuine believer in him, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, you'll bear fruit. The Jewish nation was not bearing fruit. And so he withered the fig tree, which is historically a picture of the nation of Israel, informing them, "I'm moving on.org. I am now going to go to the Gentiles." Keep reading. They question Jesus' authority. when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders, hey, who do you think you are? And then he tells the parable of the two sons, true convert, false convert. Somebody who's bearing fruit is the true convert. Somebody who doesn't, isn't. The parable of the landowner. Certain landowner planted a vineyard. And he went into the vineyard. Well, when vintage time drew near, he saw his servants. Hey, what have you been doing here? And they've been killing people that the master sent to till the vineyard. Then you got yourself the parable of the landowner. It's time for harvest. So the master, the owner who had prepared the vineyard, built the vineyard, sends his servants to do the reaping. What happens? They kill him. Who are they? Jewish people who stoned those that God sent to command them to repent for being wayward. Then you got yourself the parable of the banquet. That God sent people, hey, come to the banquet. And what did the Jewish people do in response? They killed the messengers. The context informs us that in this story of the fig tree, it is a parable of judgment, that Jesus Christ, seeing the nation of Israel not bearing fruit, not being genuine converts, was going to move into a new dispensation, if I might, my covenantal friend. And he's going to focus on spreading the gospel to the Goyim. Not that he's done with the nation of Israel, but he's going to move on to the Gentiles. That is what the parable of this fig tree is about because of context. When we return, you're going to hear a United Methodist pastor mangle the Luke 13 parable of the fig tree. Next on Wretched Radio.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ignore hermeneutics at your own expense. This is Wretched Radio. How does a denomination, formerly very small O-Orthodox, the United Methodist Church, produce a guy who's dressed up in a fig tree costume, totally mangle and butcher the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13? How does that happen? They were allowed to interpret the Bible any way that they want to. They bring in, you're going to hear all kinds of new hermeneutical approaches. Mercifully, this is from Not the Bee. It's a 3.5 minute sermon clip from a grown man. He's got a beard, dressed up like a tree, like in a child's costume tree, like he's going to go out trick-or-treating to talk about Luke 13 and correct Jesus in his understanding of the parable of the fig tree, because Jesus needs that correction. How did he get here? Well, he imports all kinds of different hermeneutical approaches. He introduced standpoint hermeneutics. He introduces the my feeling hermeneutic, which is, hey, this is kind of how I think. It's a postmodern hermeneutic. It's what it means to me, but it's not grammatical historical, which would curb this awful presentation of Luke 13. Hermeneutics are crucial. We do have a resource called Herman Who available at FortisInstitute.org, but you need to get one. It'll keep your church from calling a guy who dresses up like a fig tree. Let's jump, before we get to this character, to Luke chapter 13 and let one of the grammatical historical principles, perhaps the preeminent principle, help us see how ridiculous this man is being. Context, context, context. Luke 13, really Luke 13, all the way through 20, it even starts in Luke 10. It starts to hint at it, then it gets really intense. It is a dense section where Jesus is warning about true and false converts, those who are genuine and those who aren't. So here's how Luke 13 starts. This is the Tower of Siloam. Those present at that season, some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus said, do you suppose these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, unless you repent, you're going to perish too. Or the 18 at the Tower of Siloam when it fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, unless you repent, you're going to perish too. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about being a fruit-bearing Christian. Then he gets to the parable, which we're going to let this guy mangle. But we're just gonna bake this parable in its proper context, which will do nothing but enhance the stench that this recipe produces from this guy. Verse 10 then jumps to he heals the crippled woman. He's doing it on the Sabbath, and they're getting on him for that, of course. The parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven, the way into the kingdom. Christ mourns over Jerusalem. And this is now a perpetual revelation of Jesus saying, be careful that you're not a false convert. How do you know? You bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So if you're ever dealing with somebody who kind of blushes at the whole idea of repentance, take them to Luke 13 and just keep reading until you're done with the book. It's clear. Genuine Christians, while still plenty capable of sinning, turn from their sins and they bear fruit in keeping with repentance. With that in mind, please enjoy the Methodist pastor dressed up like a fig tree.
Well, since I'm still in this costume, I feel the need to defend the fig tree's honor. The vineyard owner accused it of taking from the soil, of being a taker.
What? Being a taker? We're going to use modern language. Let's read that parable. Jesus spoke this parable. Now remember, this is right after Siloam and Pilate slaughtering people on the temple altar and saying, you got to repent. You got to repent. Stop living the way that you are. Turn to me. He He spoke this parable. And notice this too. So he finishes up, repent lest you likewise perish in verse 5. Then verse 6, he also spoke the parable. In other words, they're connected. When you get to verse 10 at the end of the fig tree parable, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues. In other words, okay, that section has completed, moving into a new section. Might be related, but it's clearly a different time and it has a different purpose. Back to Jesus. He spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? It was a taker. That's what he's accused of. No, the fig tree is accused of wasting its resources. You're the chosen people. You've been given the laws of Moses. You're God's covenantal people, meant to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. You are wasting it. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. This is a parable of repentance. It's a parable of judgment.
Of draining resources while giving nothing back.
No, no. It's about not stopping sinning, not living for the Lord, not bearing fruit.
That's not how trees work.
Oh.
That's not how life works.
Oh, tell us.
Even without fruit, this fig tree was giving to the soil. Its roots were anchoring the earth, preventing erosion. Its fallen leaves were decomposing, enriching the ground.
In other words, the fig is doing just fine. It's producing fruit.
And beneath the surface, where no one was looking, its roots were in deep conversation with the underground.
Jimmy, would you like to work on what that conversation would... Oh, he's trying to be really colorful.
World of fungi, bacteria, and other plants. Scientists call this the mycorrhizal network. So-
Something tells me AI was involved with this sermon.
We call it the wood wide web. Trees what? Don't just take nutrients. They participate in a vast interconnected system, sharing water and passing along minerals.
See what he's doing there? He's taking a parable and he's importing way too many details into it. What is the clear teaching of the parable? Repent. Bear fruit. I am going to judge you. Get your act together.
Even warning each other of danger. A struggling tree isn't abandoned, it's supported. A struggling tree is surrounded by nearby plants that send extra nutrients through these underground fungal networks.
Would you believe me if I told you he's reading this entire thing?
Giving them a chance to recover. And maybe that's what the gardener saw.
No, he didn't see that because it's a parable and you're not supposed to import that many details. Once again, hermeneutics, one meaning to the parable.
Not just what was missing, but what was already happening under the surface. Maybe the tree wasn't fruiting yet, but it was still connected, still contributing in ways that no one could see. The fig tree reminds us that worth isn't just about what's seen above ground. What if the seasons of waiting, the times we feel stuck and unfruitful, or like we have nothing left to offer.
This is incoherent.
What if they're actually when
this
we're doing
this? This is genuinely incoherent. Got to tell you, structure, structure, structure. I know how he made one segue to the next segue and found himself off the map. I get that because it's not structured because he doesn't have any principles or systems to guide him.
What if even when we feel like we're failing, we're still part of something sacred? What if love is saying, I see what's happening beneath the surface. I see the roots. I see the connection. I see the life still moving through you. Don't give up just yet.
Was that the purpose of the parable?
Maybe it's not just about giving the fig tree more time. Maybe it's about seeing that it never was barren after all.
That was a chastisement on Jesus.
And capitalism. Capitalism has seeped into our mentality so deeply that we don't even recognize it.
That's what the parable of the fig tree is about.
It's not just about how we spend money. It's about how we see each other. We've been trained to believe that value comes in what we produce, that our worth is measured by how much we accomplish, that people are only deserving of care and of attention and of dignity if they are useful.
That's funny. I wonder what his position is on abortion.
What if we all embodied the gardener and practiced that same grace toward one another?
That apparently Jesus didn't.
This is radical because it goes against everything capitalism tells us. It says people are not...
Okay, enough. That's incoherent. Besides, it's really hard to listen to a lecture on either capitalism or interpreting parables from a man who's dressed up in a child's costume to look like a fig tree. You don't want that to happen to your denomination? Please get yourself a shared hermeneutic. United Methodist Church, tragically, here's headline, UMC top court says church trustees can't stop pastors from officiating same-sex weddings. How does a formerly Orthodox denomination go off the rails? Hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio.